Grace, mercy, peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for meditation today is written in Mark in the first chapter, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, servant, dearly beloved of God, we have some planned activities on the docket later on today. Maybe you have in mind to tackle a household chore you've had on the back burner of your to-do list, or maybe do some snow shoveling, maybe grocery shopping, some other family activity. Whatever you've got planned, I think it's pretty safe to say that it isn't difficult to fill up the minutes and the hours of our various days. I think sometimes we could wish that there would be 25 hours in the day instead of 24, and maybe 8 days in the week, or a weekend that has 3 days instead of just two. Well, our text today affords us a glimpse into the busy schedule of Jesus and the kinds of activities that filled the minutes of his days. Evangelist Mark helps us also to see that in the sundry activities Jesus was engaged in, his main goal, what he had uppermost in his mind when he got up in the morning, was to grant epiphanies to people, revelations of his identity as their servant Savior, of the blessings that he came from heaven to obtain for them so that they might put their trust in him, find happiness and purpose for their lives, and acquire that great imperishable prize in Christ of eternal life. And that was also the chief reason why he did all his miracles. And our theme this morning, with that in mind, is Epiphany Miracles with a Purpose. Jesus performed them to show his power over sickness. He did it to reveal his mastery over Satan and to point people to his message of salvation. The Holy Spirit bless our meditation, and may he use it to remind us of the wonder and the importance of our work as a Christian congregation, as individual believers in our lives of service to Christ, and also the work, how wonderful and important it is, to which he has called you church officers, some of whom will be installed later in the service today. Perhaps you recall from your Bible reading that Jesus, early on in his ministry, traveled to the seaside city of Capernaum, on the northwest coast of Lake Galilee, and it was his custom, typically was, when he would go to a city to enter into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he was invited on a particular Sabbath as a visiting rabbi to share words of Scripture. He was always very happy to do. And he did it in such a powerful and wonderful way that the people sitting in the pews, or probably didn't have pews, but the people that were there, were so astonished because they'd never heard such gracious, wonderful law, gospel preaching that spoke to their innermost needs and helped answer questions they had on their minds about God's will for their lives. Jesus also performed many miracles early on in his ministry. Last week we heard in the gospel reading before the one we read today from our text, is how he helped a man who was demon-possessed, casting it out of him. And through these mighty deeds, Jesus helped people understand, great epiphany, I'm more than just a good speaker, a skilled proclaimer of the Bible. I'm the Son of God, your heaven-sent Messiah, come to redeem you for heaven. And our text provides another example of the Lord granting epiphanies to people. After leaving the synagogue, we're told how he went for a visit into the home of the fishermen brothers, Simon and Andrew, and when he got to their house on Capernaum's lakefront avenue, or wherever it was, he discovered that Simon's mother-in-law was down in bed sick. She had been suffering severely with a high-grade fever, probably had symptoms like uncontrollable shivers, splitting headache, maybe was delirious. Jesus, we're told, went to her bedside, grasped her warm hand, and made her body temperature drop from way high to 98.6. Just as on two occasions later, he would make the wind and the waves die down in an instant. So here, one moment a lady's lying in bed deathly ill, next moment she's in the peak of health, her body coursing with such energy that she gets up right away and starts performing the duties of a gracious hostess to show her love for Jesus. What does God teach us, friends, in stories like this one? Or what particular epiphanies does he grant to us? Well, one certainly is this, that Jesus has both the power and the willingness to help us in all our physical maladies along the pathway of our lives. He's the one who blesses the work of surgeons, doctors, nurse practitioners, blesses the meds that we take, that we get from the pharmacy, who enables scientists to make strides in the field of medicine so they can do things like send a tiny camera down into our bodies to take pictures so doctors can know better how to help us. And someone might ask, well, what about when it happens when I don't experience full recovery from a particular bodily ailment? Jesus may be falling down on the job? Of course, you know the answer is no to that. That's another epiphany that he grants to us as his people, is to know that when he sees that it's not in our best interests to take a particular malady completely away, he always strengthens us to bear it and always uses it for our good. Probably know all about how the Lord permitted that to happen in the life of our congregation's namesake, Saint Paul, who was bothered by a chronic physical ailment that never seemed to go away. Bible doesn't tell us what it was. Some think it might have been a vision problem that cropped up, or something like rheumatoid arthritis or recurring migraine headaches, but whatever it was, Paul does speak about it in his second letter to the Corinthians, and he prayed the Lord to take it away, and He said, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, this thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to harass me, and three times I pleaded with the Lord about it, that it should leave me, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Jesus' answer to Paul was, you need that thorn to help you to stay humble and so that you'll be encouraged to lean more on me and my strength than on your little strength. So do you have a thorn? A medical issue you've been dealing with for a while, maybe for a long time? Well, thank Jesus for the epiphany he grants you, that he's allowing it for your blessing, to help you to say and to know and to sing with joy, as we did before the sermon, that when through fiery trials my pathway shall lie, God's grace all sufficient shall be my supply. The flames shall not hurt me, the Lord only designs my dross to consume and my gold to refine, to strengthen me in my faith. It's part of the grand message also Jesus has given us as a congregation to proclaim and to share with others, and that you church officers also are helping to support by the work that you do. Back to our text. Jesus had more on his schedule that day. Mark tells us that at evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases, drove out many more demons, but wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Epiphany the Lord granted to the people that day very powerfully, and to us who read this story these many years later, is the reality of Satan and the power that he wields, and that his design is always to hurt people, both their bodies and their souls. He's not a fictional creature. He's all too real and super strong. How did Luther put it in his Reformation hymn? Mighty fortress. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile, great might are his dread arms in fight. And with might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. We wouldn't be able to help ourselves at all against him. See his dastardly handiwork everywhere in our society and in our world, and his ability to deceive people, mislead them to their harm. To illustrate this, I might tell you the story, if you heard the story of the prankster back in the day, who in the dark of the night broke into a downtown drugstore, and this was before there were any burglar alarms or ring alarm cameras. Thought it would be a real hoot to break into this store and switch around all the price tags on the merchandise sitting on the shelves. And he exchanged a $200 sticker that was on a lady's luxury watch for a 29-cent price tag. He took a tag for items in the candy bar section, the candy bar rack, 25 cents each. He put it on a top-of-the-line men's electric razor. When the customers came in, not to mention the proprietor, in the morning, they were flummoxed to see a piece of bazooka bubble gum, $150. A pair of expensive leather gloves, $1. Well, that's a ploy of Satan, is to lead people to attach an inordinately great value to things that will one day disappear like a puff of smoke, and to undervalue the blessings of Christ. How many people do you think are going to be in the stadium next Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday in Las Vegas, watching that game? And how many in comparison will attend divine services that day? How many minutes do you think that people, we can probably relate to this too, and think about it seriously also, on social media, TikTok, compared to time spent searching Scripture and growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. But stories like this one from Mark's Gospel also remind us something very wonderful indeed, that Jesus, the valiant one whom God himself elected to fight for us, is more, much more than Satan's equal. And he enables us to fend off those attacks that the evil one makes upon our faith. Leads us by the word to repent of our sins, including the sin of mixing up our priorities and overvaluing worldly amusements and activities, and to rejoice especially in his forgiving love that he uses his word to instill in our hearts, instructing our hearts, enabling us to sing, "One thing's needful, Lord, this treasure. Teach me highly to regard all else, though at first give pleasure, is a yoke that presses hard. Beneath it, the heart still fretting, striving, no true lasting happiness ever deriving. But this one thing is needful. All others are vain. I count all but loss that I Christ may obtain." And again, that's what lends importance to our work as a Christian congregation. It's what gives us satisfaction, joy, sense of real accomplishment, also in the peripheral matters that relate to operating a church, like the financial end of things or property matters or secretarial work or planning potlucks. It powers us up for our work and makes it so worthwhile. Jesus' victory for us, and to know that he uses his word continually to safeguard our faith and enable us to overcome the devil's wiles. Also wanted to mention, you know, after Jesus, after finishing his work for us as our Savior, saying, "It's finished." Remember what he did to prove that all this is wonderfully true, that he defeated Satan? As we confess in the Creed, he descended into hell to do what? To preach his triumphant victory and to verify that we are victors with him. And then, of course, he arose from the dead to show there's nothing now that can separate us from God's love in Jesus our Lord. And a thought to share in closing, friends, Mark tells us at the end of the text before us this morning, he says, "At very early the next day, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place to pray, and then Simon and his friends went to look for him and found him, and they exclaimed, 'Everyone's looking for you, Lord.'" Sometimes we hear, you ever heard people talk about, you know, searching for God on a quest for the divine? You're looking for answers to life's crucial questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? How can I get to heaven to see God, to latch hold of that imperishable crown of eternal life in heaven with him? Books have been written on that subject. Ran across two of them online last week. One of them was titled, "How to Find God, 13 Steps." And another one, 12 Practical Steps in Search for God. Take away from this text another marvelous epiphany that Jesus grants to us, is that wherever there are people who are searching for him and who find him, it's because he arranged things so that that would happen. And that's again why he did all of his miracles and arranged that they'd be recorded here in the Bible for us to read about. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that you found Jesus by faith is because he's used the Bible to grant you epiphanies of himself, of his identity, of his power, and of his love as your Savior, and to help you to know also that he's there to help you with your daily life issues, with all of your health problems that crop up, and most importantly, to continue to administer for us the perfect cure, the perfect vaccine for our sin infection, the gospel of God's grace in his Son, and to make us thereby the happy recipients of the prize imperishable of eternal life with him. That was at the top of his to-do list then, and it still is today. So I'll praise to him, and may he bless our work for him in the congregation and the tasks that you church officers perform for him as instruments in the Lord's hand. For the blessing of souls he came to save. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with